Amen.
Hallelujah.
While you remain standing, let's pick a text from Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, we are reading it from verse 9, 10, and 11. I read from verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, and my name is Moses, in case you don't know. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And the church will say, may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. He told the other Moses 3 days, but this Moses is 21 days. You know why our own cannot be only 3 days? The carnality that has overtaken us cannot be wiped away in 3 days. So our own has to be 21. It cannot be only 3 days. Praise the Lord. And I'm titling this exhortation, Preparing to Meet the Lord. Preparing to Meet the Lord. And remember that as a preacher and any other preacher listening to me now, we have only one duty to do. Our own is to go and bring people to the Lord Jesus. And he is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. No human being, no human being has the Holy Ghost to give anybody. It is not appointed upon anybody to give anybody the Holy Ghost. Only Christ baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Only Christ. But we have a duty to bring you to him, and part of our duty is to tell you how to come to him and receive. And the joy of a Christian is not, of a preacher, a pastor, our joy is not the number of people that are in our church. It is the number of people that the pastor knows have received eternal life. That is what gives him joy, or that is what makes him sad. You see, when it comes to the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will have observed that I am so passionate about it. And let me tell you, it is not now. Pastor Francis, you have been with us in this ministry for long. And you know that we are less than 100 members in the church. That I told you this is what I believe. I stated it clearly when the church just started. I said, see, we stand in the entire message in all the churches I have belonged, and 4 of them. And then I attended conventions and visited other churches in the course of my evangelical activities all around the country at that time. And I noticed something. I say, what we say in this age, because of the presentation of Christianity, how they have made Christianity to look like, nobody is going to listen to us. to tell a woman in this age not to palm her hair, not to paint her face. In this age, in this age. You want to tell a young girl in this age, with all the influences of internet and the television, that she should not wear trouser when they are advertising that that is where the beauty is? You want to tell a girl that her schoolmates are telling her, you have very beautiful, fine, sexy looking girl, legs. It's an endowment. You have to show what God has given you. And then you want to tell her that there's enter message. She should dress and let her skirt go down. By instruction. He not go walk. I told you people, minister, Pastor Francis, at that time, I say, if stop preaching, don't palm, don't wear high heel, don't do this. Don't, I said, stop preaching it. Let the people get the Holy Ghost first before we start to preach it. Let the people receive the Holy Ghost so that if what we are saying is the truth, there will be a spirit inside of them that will receive what we are saying. Hallelujah. And it is working. I am telling you, it is working. If somebody has not received the Holy Ghost, he cannot receive instruction from the Holy Ghost. That is why, by their fruits, we shall know them. And that is why we kept doing. You came to our church, every service, the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. So other intermediate churches, they thought I didn't know anything to preach. That is why I was doing that. You know now, they went all around. If you go to that church, Pastor Aldo doesn't know anything. They don't teach anything. They don't know anything. All they do there is anointing. What thing concerning me? Now you are there answerable to? Every fisherman knows how to catch fish. Praise the Lord. And now that God has given us television, all their mouth have closed. This man knows what he's saying. And I know what I am doing. Hallelujah. It's part of it now that we give it so much attention that it must not be anyhow, because some people have misplaced what the Holy Ghost is. Also, they think the Holy Ghost is just anointing, but then you are shaking and shaking. It's more than that. They think the Holy Ghost is the one they carry in their hand. Take it. It's more than that. I think the Holy Ghost is just miracles, signs and wonders. It's more than that. It's part of it, but it's more than that. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. And that is why we give it all the attention. See, I am called to lead you to heaven. Amen. Listen very well. I said this so that you have reason to listen to me. The bearing of a ministry should tell you what the ministry is for. The emphasis of a ministry should tell you what the ministry is established for. I am telling you the passion. See, I am so passionate about it that I want you people to please bear with me. When you say me, say some things the way I say it. Don't bear with me. However I say it, it is just to achieve one thing. For somebody to see reason to take your eternal destination more seriously. More seriously. For a lot of what attracts people to the churches these days is prosperity. Prosperity. I had a preacher preaching on his television station this morning. And I heard him, very anointed. And he too wants to preach about the Holy Ghost. And he's talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And I heard him saying that the power of the Holy Ghost He said it. He said it. And I looked at him. He said it's not just when Christ says you go and be witnesses. A lot of people go out and say, preach Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He said, this is who will look at you. Who will listen to you. But when they see you, you prosper. You are swimming in prosperity. He said, then they will come and ask you, oh boy, how did you become rich? Then you can tell them, it's Jesus. And by doing that, you have preached the gospel. Hallelujah. That means only rich people will preach. It's more than that. It's more than that. And please, I don't preach what I have not confirmed. I have confirmed, first and foremost, through me, what a man can turn out to be after he has received the Holy Ghost. After he has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I am evidence number one. That's why I sing boldly, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I can also sing such love, such wondrous love, such love. Oh, such wondrous love that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like me. Hallelujah. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me, where are my sins? When I tell them my sins are gone, I will tell them, they are underneath the blood, on the cross of Calvary.
As far removed,
as far removed as that death is from God.
In the sea,
hey, in the sea of God's
forgetfulness,
that's good enough for me.
Oh, God.
Praise God,
my sins are gone,
my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you ask me also, hallelujah, why are you jumping like this? Why are you jumping like this? I will tell you, there are people almost
everywhere who stand all aflame
with the fire that fell at Pentecost,
with things that make them clean.
It is calling now within my heart,
all glory to his name.
Hey.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Are you one of them?
Hey, one of them.
I am one of them. I'm so glad.
I'm so glad
that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Which Bible school did you go? Which school of theology did you go? He said, though these people may not learn and
be the boast of what he played,
they are always
eager
and baptized
in Jesus' name. I'm telling no both far and wide, his power is yet the same.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I didn't go to Bible school, but I've received my own Pentecost, and I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm part of the restoration ministry. Restoration ministry is God's joker for this age. Shall you say, you know God, you know God? Then he played a joker. If you know me, then I have come. They know, they said they know the God of Moses. They know the God of Moses. The God of Moses came as Emmanuel. They miss him. And in John chapter 4, from verse 10, let's read it. John chapter 4, verse 10. All glory be to God. Jesus answered and said unto her by the waterside, when he asked her to give him water, and she was making argument. If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, standing before you now, give me to drink, thou will have asked of him, and he will have given thee what? Living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water that is in this well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The fountain of life is flowing everywhere.
Whosoever drinks shall never ever thirst again. The fountain of life is flowing everywhere. And whosoever drinks shall never ever thirst again.
Listen, hallelujah. Which water, which thirst? Every human being has a thirst in him. Every human being has a thirst. That thirst is not of physical water. There's something in your soul, there is a void there. And that void is there because of a disconnect from God. Because you notice that life is incomplete. It's incomplete. When you are disconnected from God, it is to quench that thirst that people go about living the type of life some of them live. It is to quench that thirst that is making people go and become drunkards. They think that when they drink and get drunk, they will have peace. But after the effect of the drunkenness, the problem is still there. That is what is making people take drugs. That is what is making people even fornicate. They jump from man to man, from woman to woman. They are looking for something. They jump from babalawo to another babalawo. They are looking for something. They jump from Christianity, from one religion to another religion. They are looking for something. They come to Christ again. They jump from church to church. They are looking for something. There is a test. There is a test. And that test is a test of getting connected to the source of life. And the day you get connected to it, you find peace all around you. But where will we get it? Hallelujah. That's why that songwriter says, where will I go? Where will I go?
Seek a refuge for my soul.
Needing a friend.
Need a friend,
oh, to help me in the end.
Oh, where will I go but to the Lord?
Life here is grand.
Life here is right.
Life here is right.
Oh, with friends I love so dear. We get along.
Oh, I get from God so.
Yes, when I fail.
that test that produced that song. Where will I go? And then when they come again to Christ, they find a situation that is the same as Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 13. He said, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord." Verse 13 is where the prophecy is. "For my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." They have forsaken God, who is the fountain of living water, and they have hewed to themselves, for themselves, cisterns. You know what a cistern is? You know what a container that is they're normally on construction sites where they pour water. They build a little place like that and they put water there, a reservoir, where they use to mix concrete and do their building something. And you know it is not flowing. That is why it is not living water. That's why it is different from the fountain of living water. It is not flowing. It is stagnant. And because it is stagnant, what happens after some time without water? All manner of things find abode there. Mosquito will lay her own there, her eggs there. Frog will find accommodation there. Lizard itself will find accommodation there. Waiting again. All manner of things. Anything at all. Even wood itself, then they throw them inside that place. Even stone, then they throw them inside that place. Even eventually, because of the occupation by every nyama-nyama thing, the water will change color, amoeba will grow there, and sparogyra will grow there, and then all, before you know what, the water change color. And God was describing the condition of Israel. And in Isaiah 28, he said, "All tables are full of vomit, and there is no place, none that is clean." And he's talking about the table where the food is served, the altar, the pulpit. And if I don't have to say it before you yourself will agree that that is the condition of the church of Jesus Christ today. As a condition. I saw a post on WhatsApp this morning. And what caught my attention is a group of my mates, my course mates in the military. And there was a post, you know, that's where we talk to each other. And I noticed the person that sent that post is a retired general. And we all know him to be a serious Muslim. And he sent about a bishop that is being accused by something, an audio of a bishop leaked that he was, you know, talking to a girl, making her, telling her he will do this, he will, you know, all the naughty things, you know, chasing her to sleep with her and saying things that, honestly speaking, I cannot repeat on air or at the pulpit here. Because I listened to it. Bishop, and it's a popular bishop in Nigeria. And I listened to it. And then, what caught my attention is not just that a bishop did it, but it was a Muslim. A Muslim man sent that post to me, of course, and I quickly had to reply immediately. I sent my own post that man is planted there by the devil for people like you, unbelievers, to make caricature of our cherished faith. But for your information, the Bible says they will be in the church, planted by the devil to spoil the faith. But the foundation of God stands sure. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How can somebody who truly say he's even a bishop, if that story is true, I like to put it if it is true, but I listen to it. I hope that voice is his voice. If that voice, if it is him, then imagine that, is it really possible? I have been asking this question, that I will stand and preach and tell you that I'm a preacher of righteousness, preaching a representative of God, of Christ, that went to pay for our sins on the cross on Calvary, to give us power to become the sons of God, and tell you this group of people are going to hell, including fornicators. These people are going to heaven. And then me, myself, we have a girlfriend in the church, sleeping with her. Listen. Even if they curse me, I'm not going to descend to that level. The reason is because, hallelujah, see, a madman, when they mad, when they carry and go to psychiatric hospital, when you see psychiatric doctor coming, they behave. So you will not say, na curse. You will not say, na madness. You don't know what they do. Even in that madness, there is boundary. Even in the curse that they place on you, there is a boundary when it comes to God. So I'm saying this to just make you see why we emphasize receive the Holy Ghost. Because all this, I am a witness. It wasn't until I came to Christ that I found true peace. The fountain of living water. The test to look for anything that pertains to life died. The only test I have now is to live a life pleasing before my Savior. That's all. And that is why, too, my priorities reflect that revelation. While some are busy chasing money as their reason for coming into the ministry, what some of us are chasing is not money. We want money. If you want to ask me money, no hola mo. Nothing say I don't want money. Eh? If you want to ask me money, don't misinterpret me. I get family. I get children. But I'm talking about the love of money until it is to the detriment of the work of the ministry. Ha! Praise the Lord. Until I cannot go and minister anywhere unless we sit down and then we agree how much, how much. That's how far some people go. How much, how much, how much, how much. It's because of lack of revelation. Such people are even preaching, but no peace. Hallelujah. No peace. I am saying this. I have people living with me in my house, and I have my wife listening here to me. She knows that nothing troubles me. Nothing. Since I gave my life to Christ, nothing. Nothing troubles me. When a few days ago, I was telling her an experience I was going through, an experience I went through after I gave my life to Christ, some few years after I gave my life to Christ, and I told her how that I will travel and sit down for bus for attachment. How that I will travel by night bus. In fact, there was one that I stood throughout. That was from Onitsha to Lagos. Now stand, I stand. Because I didn't have money to pay for a seat. Okay, now. And I was telling her how that I befriended somebody. There's one hotel, what do they call that, you know? Who knows this is where they pay for some hours? Sorry, let me ask the brothers. What do you call those hotels? That's one where you go carry woman, go then pay for like 1 hour, 2 hours. What do they call them? Say very loud. See, you know it. Short time. They call it short time. So I will go there and stay. Oh, so that the person, they will finish all their business for the day. Then the room will remain. I will pay 1,000 naira to be able to sleep there in Abuja. Because I didn't have money to stay in a hotel. And I had friends and mates that had mansions and were living in mansions. But because of my faith, they were treating me one kind. And I accepted it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, where you're, when Christ has molded you, what becomes of you? Nothing disturbs. See, Apostle Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. If I have, I go enjoy you. I don't be like some of you now, get, hey, and there's plenty for the church. I can tell, talk to you about them. See. Change this mentality. Because, number one, you will not live forever. Number two, all the things you are gathering and gathering and gathering, who are you living it for? The Bible says something. Of all the wealth that you have, the only one that directly blesses you is the one you used to eat. Any other thing you have, now, other people will get them. Other people will get them. So the only one you will enjoy, cause the worry people. For food, you will not eat the best food. You will keep the money in the bank. You will go to Mama Put, and at the end, what do you go spend to treat yourself after eating some food? It's much, much more than going to eat in a decent place. To eat decent in a clean, decent environment. Hallelujah. When it comes to food, I didn't use my money chop. Oh. Better food chop. There are some Sundays, on Sundays like this, maybe somebody can't dash me money. My family here, my wife is here. I will tap her and say, somebody dash me somebody. Why not eat? Let's go for buffet. As they come up for here, let's go for buffet. Buffet. We go select this one, select this one, select, select. When I chop finish, I say, now my money. If I not use my chop, I go dash person. First, he will soon come back and say, he need waiting, I go dash him. Then remain hungry, kwashoko, everything, waiting happen. What am I working for? I say it again. Listen, there are some of us that we walk till we die. Okay, if it is not a problem, see where the problem is. Compare the house you are living in Lagos, where you spent most of your life in Lagos. Compare it to the mansion you built and left it with cobweb in the village. That one is to show off. Then the one that you will enjoy, you will build one 2x2 room. They squeeze yourself there. They squeeze yourself. Then the rest, you go do the one for tenant. You go do the one for tenant for the rent that some of them go stay there for 5 years, no can pay you. Then you are there. You are there suffering. See the kind car way they use. Nobody say you not afford. You can't afford it. Nobody say you cannot afford it. You can afford it. But there is a mentality that is on you, and you think it is being smart. It is actually trying to say you go walk. You not go enjoy them. Me, that spirit will not come upon me in the name of Jesus. You better enjoy yourself. But when you make money your priority to the detriment of your soul is what I am against. Be so heavenly minded that nothing earthly will take your attention from the goal of making heaven. And Jesus satisfies that yearning in you. And this yearning comes only, I repeat, only by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you continue to live a struggling Christian life. The Holy Ghost is supposed to give you rest. Because what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is actually God Himself coming to take over rulership of your life. Rulership of your life. Are you troubled? He's your comforter. He's the God of your peace. That is who he is. Are you confused? He will lead you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He takes over your life. That is the rest. That is why only a true Christian will rejoice in situations where people expect him to cry and regret. And you can't do it by your own power. It is by the power that comes through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see how important it is. That is the only true rest. For a long time, or rather recently, I mean to say, sermons we have been preaching, saying a lot of things, dropping here and here things. Hallelujah. What we are actually doing, we spoke about the soon coming rain. The rain. The rain of revival. We spoke about it, and we are in great expectation of this rain. But listen, hallelujah. Before a farmer plants, before you go out to plant, there is always a rain that notifies everybody is planting time, correct? Hallelujah. Yes. And that is what is, it's typing the revival that comes up before the seed is planted. And let's go back a little so that you understand why Jesus Christ, listen very well, we're speaking revelation, so that you'll understand what we are actually going into. For what we are doing is scriptural. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was the one that started the revival. A little bit of it from John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and Jesus Christ took over. Between Jesus and John the Baptist, it was the revival period. It is the rain for the planting. Listen carefully. It is the rain for the planting of the seed. And Jesus went about, mighty miracles, signs and wonders were taking place, and they didn't know that God was fulfilling a law. Fulfilling a law that farmers have foreshadowed. And then, with the anointing, hallelujah, he was able to get some disciples. And when he got those disciples, amen, that is where they got the grounds for him to start planting the seed. Which seed was he planting on the disciples? The seed of the word of God. For 3.5 years, he was with a group of people. What was he doing? He was planting a seed. Planting the seed. Planting the seed of the word of God. And, hallelujah. After the seed is planted, then for that seed to grow, there must be rain that will fall. When that rain falls, every seed that is planted will begin to shoot out. And he planted the word of God in the souls, those his disciples. One time they were 70. They reduced to 120. They reduced to 11. Hallelujah. They reduced to 11. They reduced to 11. They shot up again to 120. They started 7. It started 12 of them. They increased to 70. Then they reduced to 11. Then they increased again to 120. Amen. And that was the rain that fell. That rain came on the day of Pentecost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The seed must be planted first before the rain will come. And for all this while, from January until now, we have tried by all means to plant the seed of God's word in the mind of the people. So that when the rain falls, hallelujah, that seed can germinate. And a lot of people try to give people the Holy Ghost without the word. You want the Holy Ghost? Come. You want the Holy Ghost? Come. No. Before you give people the Holy Ghost, plant the seed first. That is exactly what Philip did at Samaria. He went and planted the seed in Acts chapter 8. And then, when the seed was planted properly, then the disciples who were in Jerusalem heard that there was a revival in Samaria, and then they came and then lay hands on them to receive the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 8. The seed planted first, then the rain fell. Hallelujah. The same thing. Peter, in the house of Cornelius, he had to go there. He didn't say, okay, you people want the Holy Ghost in this house, all of you stand up, open your mouth. When I say receive, then you begin to speak in tongues. Nothing like that, oh. Nothing like that, oh. That rain will fall and it will produce nothing. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, while Peter yet spake, in verse 44, the rain came down because they had received the word. In Acts chapter 19, the same thing with Paul. He met those brethren from Ephesus, 12 of them. And from the way they were acting, he had to ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said they didn't even know what is called the Holy Ghost. And then he asked them, unto what then did you baptize? And he began to sow the word in their hearts. And the Bible said, after they heard the word, they believed. And Paul now laid hand on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The true word is sown first. The word must be sown first. What is it supposed to do? It is supposed to bring a conviction that will make you to get concerned for your life. The word of God is to expose who you are, your standing, so that you will know that you are among those that should go to hell if nothing is done. And you will say, yes, I deserve to go to hell. Men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, verse 37, they asked him, after they had said their hearts were pricked, they were convicted, and they got concerned, and now they shouted, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Philippian jailer asked them also, Paul and Silas asked them, what must I do to be saved? It means they told him that you are finished. You will be condemned. You are held, you are bound to go to hell if you don't change. And he also asked, what must I do to be saved? Praise the Lord. We have to take note. That is the reason. The word of God is to expose you, to expose who you are to you. And if you ever read the Bible, or you hear any gospel of salvation, and it does not prick your heart to adjust your life, you have not had any sermon yet. The purpose of every sermon is to reconcile man to his maker. It's to make you see who you are. And he gave us the Bible that James referred to it as a mirror. That we look into it and we see all the spots in our garments that need to be adjusted, to be cleaned. That is what the word of God is. Blessed be the name of the Lord.